study on submission and obedience to authority. And just kind of a little bit of review, because it's been a few weeks and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just this idea of submission and obedience isn't a very popular idea in the world today, is it? And sad to say, even among believers, there's just a lack of brokenness, of humility, of a desire to obey first and foremost the Lord, and then also those authorities in every realm of our lives that He's placed over us. The natural thing to do, the most normal thing to do, the thing the flesh likes to do, is to criticize and to disobey and to question authority and to think that I know better than the authority does. And we do that all the time, don't we? We do it with our bosses at work. We do it with our government. Don't we do it with our president and our governor? We know better than they do. What an idiotic decision they made. And yet we've got to realize, first and foremost, is the Lord has placed them in that position. And not only that, but they know facts and they know information that maybe we're not privy to. And although we may not always be able to respect the person because of their wickedness, because of their sinfulness, and I believe many, not all, but many of the governmental leaders today that we have are not believers. And in fact, not just are not believers, but are very ungodly people. But that doesn't free us from this responsibility that we have to submit ourselves to them, to obey them, and first and foremost, to pray for them. We're to pray for all our authorities. Children are to pray for their parents. We're to pray for our bosses at work. We're to pray for our governmental leaders. We're to pray for the elders in the assembly. We're to pray for all the authorities that are over us. And I wonder, I know I'm not very good at that. I don't know about you, but I know I'm not very consistent in my prayer for those authorities that are over me. And my flesh likes to criticize them as well, likes to do his own thing. I think that I know better than they do so many times. And yet that's exactly what the flesh does. When you hear someone criticizing authority, when you hear someone challenging you or encouraging you to disobey authority, then really that person is doing the work of Satan, not the work of the Lord. The Lord wants us to be humble. He wants us to be broken. That idea of submission, the Greek word means to put oneself under, so to subject yourself to. It's not something that's forced upon us. It's something that the Lord commands us to do, and we make that choice. We make that choice to submit one's self or one's control or oneself to the control of another. That's what it means, to submit oneself to the control of another. To be subordinate to yield to one's admonition and advice, to give way to that person, to that one that's in authority. You know, and I use this illustration, you never have to submit when you're in agreement. That's not submission. When I agree with somebody, I'm not submitting them, I'm just doing what I would do naturally. There's no battle there, there's no disagreement there. It's when I disagree with the authority, that's where the submission comes in. That's where the call for obedience comes in. And that's where it's tough, isn't it? That's where it's tough. Like I said, the flesh loves to question. It loves to criticize. It loves to disobey. The very opposite of what the Lord would have us to do is to resist. What the flesh does is to resist that authority that's over us. And yet the Lord requires us, He demands us, or commands us to obey, to submit our wills to those that are in authority that He has placed. Because everyone that's in authority, the President of the United States, whether you like Barack Obama or not, it really doesn't matter. He's the President because God put him there. And we all understand that, don't we? We may not like it. It may not have been our particular choice, but God has His plans and purposes that are far above our plans and purposes. And I don't understand those things. But I know that God's in control. I know He's in control. And I prayed, as I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, prayed, that the Lord's own person will be put in that place of authority. Bev Perdue, you may not like Bev Perdue. It doesn't matter. The Lord placed her as the governor of North Carolina. I don't agree with all the decisions she makes, but she's the governor. and we submit ourselves. The police, we don't necessarily agree with the speed limits that are placed upon us or the decisions that are made. But our place is not to criticize, is to submit to that authority. And we're going to talk a little bit about it, because some people have asked me, well, what do you do if the authority is evil or if the authority tells you to do something that's in violation of Scripture? We're going to address those things tonight, okay? Because that does come up from time to time. The 70-mile or 55-mile-an-hour speed limit isn't against some biblical principle, so don't try to get around that one. Paying taxes is not against any biblical principle, so pay your taxes, and that's the way it should be, right? Those things we shouldn't question at all. But there are other things that are questionable that the government either prohibits us from doing or requires us to do, and what do we do in those particular situations? It's not because the authority is good. It's not because the authority is upright and godly. It's because the authority is in that position over us because God has placed them there. And really, in essence, when we disobey that authority, we're disobeying God. Do we understand that? When we disobey the authority, we're really disobeying God. It doesn't matter if it's your father or your husband or your boss at work. It doesn't matter who it is. If we disobey that authority in the secular realm or in the sacred realm, we're disobeying God, ultimately, because He's the authority that is over all authority. And all authority is submissive to Him. He's the one, it says, who holds the heart of the king in His hand, and He turns it whithersoever He will. Whithersoever He will. I'm just going to get, and I've said this before about Barack Obama, and I don't know. He's made an awful lot of decisions that you and I as believers are just amazed at and would be in disagreement with, some of his positions and things that he has. But you know what? I believe, I'm convinced that men like him and other world leaders are bringing us closer and closer to that day of the tribulation period. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing. This country, I think, from what I can see in Scripture, has no place in the time of the tribulation of any kind of world power at all, economically, politically, socially, militarily. And so, sad to say, and we hate to see it, because this is our country, we're Americans, but this country has to go down. And the predominant nation or nations during the tribulation period is going to be centered in the European Union. And so they're the ones that are going to, the euro's going to get stronger, they're military, politically, socially, economically, every way, they're going to get stronger and we're going to get weaker. That's the way it is. And if this particular administration brings us closer to that place as believers, we ought to say praise the Lord. Because first and foremost, what we desire is to see Christ glorified and to see the will of God done in this world. Don't we? Isn't that all we want? More than having health insurance or not having health insurance or having, you know, our taxes raised or not having them raised or whatever it is. Those are just secondary, really unimportant things in the big picture of God's plan for us. And when we get our eyes off of those kind of things that are so temporal and so really insignificant and get our eyes on the big picture that God has, I think it'll help us to see some of these things and to have a lot less problems with and a lot less critical spirit in our hearts and minds. So just that, the authority that in our workplace, in our homes, the fact that God set them up. I read this and I'll read it again. I think it's a great quote. True submission to God naturally expresses itself in obedience and submission to earthly authority. You know, if you're totally submitted to the Lord, you're not going to have any problem submitting to earthly authority. But if you're not really submitted to the Lord, it's going to come out. You know? What does it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They say you can't tell a book by its cover. Oh, yes, you can. Because what's inside is going to come out on the outside, isn't it? It's going to manifest itself outwardly. You can tell. In fact, that's what it tells us. By the fruit, you'll know them. By the result, by the outcome of their lives, by the way people live, by the way people behave, that's how you're going to know them. That's how you're going to know them. And so we can tell what's on a person's heart. You can't be 100% sure. I'm not saying that. But you can tell what's in a person's heart and mind by how they behave, by what they do. And so if someone is rebellious against authority, earthly authority, it really evidences a rebellion against God and His authority. So That's true. True submission to God naturally expresses itself in obedience and submission to earthly authority. Thus, genuine submission to God and His Word expresses itself in obedience and submission in the home, in marriage, at work, in society, and in the local assembly of believers. I'll tell you, it's a sad thing, and you all know what I'm talking about. It's a sad thing to hear a woman criticize her husband. Isn't that a sad thing? Doesn't that bother you when you hear a woman, and we hear a man criticizing his wife too, I'm not saying it, but you know, a woman is under the authority of her husband, and every time he makes a decision, she criticizes him. She puts him down. She questions his authority. You know what's going to eventually happen to that man? He's going to quit making decisions. He's going to quit making decisions. The same thing in the workplace. You go the talk at the water cooler talk, you know, and go there and listen to how people talk about the boss. And I've done it. I've done the same thing. And yet the Lord, you know, he really smites you down in the very depths of your being when you do those kind of things, doesn't he? I gave you the illustration last time. I had a horrible boss. He was just he was haughty, proud. He was trying to prove himself. He had a chip on his shoulder, and a lot of things were wrong. Just didn't produce a productive heart and spirit in the men that worked for him. But you know, my attitude was wrong towards him too, and I had to go to him and confess it. And his name was Grover, and I said, Grover, I've been criticizing you behind your back. I've been disobedient to you. I've been doing my own thing my own way, and I've got to confess that to you and ask your forgiveness. I don't think he was a believer. He said he was, but there was a lot of things in his life that evidenced that he really wasn't. Just his mouth, just the words that came out of his mouth, foul mouth, you could tell. But he really changed. Now, you know, it was still hard to work for him. But you know what? I had an opportunity with that man to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, just because I was willing to go back to him and confess that I had been wrong in my attitude towards him. So in every area of our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, children to their parents, you hear this too. You hear kids criticizing their parents. Let me tell you, I tell my kids, and they really know it. Maybe they don't act like they know it, but I'll always know more than my kids do. I always will. You know? I don't care how many years they go to college and how many degrees they get. I'll always know more than they do because I'm a father, I'm a husband, and they're not yet. And then when they get to be fathers and husbands, or wives and mothers, then I'm going to be a grandfather. I told Jonathan one time, he said, well, when you die, I'll know more than you. And I said, no, because I'll be in heaven and I'll still know more than you. See, it's always going to work out, you see. There's got to be that respect, doesn't there? And I've got a job as a father to earn the respect of my children, but also there is that realm where they have to respect me no matter if I'm a respectable person or not, right? And yet you hear children criticizing their parents, among other young people. You know, my father this or my mother that, or, you know, and talking bad about their parents. And it's sad. It shouldn't be that way among Christian young people. There should be a defense. My father's not always right, but you know, my father's my father. And I'm going to submit to him no matter what. And my mother, it may not always be, she may not be the smartest person in the world, or she may not be the most whatever in the world, but you know what? She's my mother, and she's my authority, and I'm going to submit to her. Because honor your father and your mother, and we'll get into this more later on, we'll get into specifics. Honor your father and your mother, that you might live long and prosper in the earth. It's the first commandment with a promise, isn't it? Because you see, humility, submission, and obedience always brings blessing. It always brings blessing and joy in the life. I'm not saying happiness, but it always brings joy in our lives. Even when we go through hard times, it'll bring a satisfaction knowing that we're doing what pleases the Lord. And self-will and disobedience always is accompanied by sorrow and loss every time. Sooner or later, there's going to be sorrow and loss where there's disobedience and criticism, and self-willed attitude. Look at Job chapter 36. We're going to look at some of these. Job chapter 36, some examples of this. And so here's the thing. Obedience always brings joy and blessing, and disobedience always brings sorrow and loss. Job chapter 36. And verse 11. If they obey and serve Him, and of course he's speaking about the Lord here, if they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. That's a principle in God's Word, okay? It's a principle that is just as true today as it was in the days of Job. It hasn't changed at all. Those that submit themselves and obey the Lord shall prosper and have pleasure in their years, and those that disobey shall perish and they shall die without any knowledge. In other words, people will just forget them. Their memory will be gone. They'll die without anything or anybody, and they'll just be gone. They'll just be gone. I'm just going to give you one quick example of this. Abraham and Lot. Right? Abraham and Lot. Abraham obeyed the Lord, and he prospered, didn't he? And we remember him, and he had a joy-filled life, didn't he? But Lot, he disobeyed the Lord. He was guided by the flesh and by the carnality of pleasure of sin for a season. And what happened? He lost everything he had, and he died. Just a miserable life, living in a cave all by himself. What a miserable man. What a miserable man. So we want to submit to authority. We want to obey authority. Again, the Lord is the ultimate authority. The Lord is the ultimate authority. And those that are under His authority are really the ones that He uses to guide us and lead us in the various aspects or areas of our lives. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Again, this is just that verse that I was saying, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, it's a commandment, but there's a promise attached to it. If you obey your father and your mother, then, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So, obey that authority, those earthly authority, the earthly authority of your parents, that you may live long, and that it may go well with you, that you might prosper. You might prosper. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean obey your parents and you're going to be rich someday. No, that's not what it means. It means prosper in spiritual things. The spiritual heritage that your parents can pass on to you. And so honor them. Even if when we're grown and our parents, we have our own families, there's still not to be that same obedience in the sense that my father comes into my house and tells me what to do and tells my family what to do. That's not what we're talking about. But there's still got to be that honoring. There's a leaving and cleaving, but there's always the honoring. And one of the first councils that we ought to go to is our parents, among others, the elders in the assembly, other godly men and women that we know. But one of the first authorities that we ought to go, or one of the first, counselors that we ought to go to, even as a married couple, is to our parents. Again, they have experience. They have experience that we don't have. And some of our children, Elizabeth, for example, has learned that a lot. I mean, she calls Angie all the time. I got this problem with Esther. What do I do? Why does she do that? Because Angie's had five children and knows how to do that kind of stuff. Right? Should I take her to the doctor? How many days has she had a fever? 2 days. Just wait one more day. 3 days. If it's 3 days, then you take her. See? She knows that. And so Elizabeth learns. But how does she learn? Through the experience of her mother in those things. How to deal with her husband, how to deal with her children, and same thing with the husband. How do I deal with my wife? How do I deal with my children? How do I deal with this? And they come to the parents, not for the parents tell them what to do at that point, but the parents give them counsel, and there's honor and respect for that authority, for that one that still is an authority in that sense. Still elders, because they're still our father and our mother, no matter what happens. 1 Peter chapter 2 is the next one. 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, these are all dealing with the blessing that comes through obedience and the sorrow that comes through disobedience. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. It's kind of all-inclusive, isn't it? It doesn't just say those things that you like or that you agree with. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Excuse me. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, or the difficult to please. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. Honor the king. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Give honor to the governor, to the king, to those who are in authority over us, servants, employees, their employers. Honor them. Submit yourself to them, not just to the ones that are easy, but even to those that are difficult. Because there's where the reward comes in. There's where the reward comes in. God sees all that, right? He sees all that. He knows what's going on. And you know, again, it's not because we look forward to suffering. It's not because we look forward to trials and tribulations and difficulties. But by the same token, brethren, the Lord brings those things into our lives to mold us into the image of Christ, who was made perfect through suffering. He became that perfect, that complete high priest, that perfect, that complete Savior that understands us, that's a cause for us, that comes along and helps us in our time of need because he understands what it means to suffer. And we will never suffer like he suffered. Look what he did. And we talked about him last time. He submitted himself to authority, didn't he? Couldn't he at any moment have struck Pilate down dead? With one word, Pilate would have ceased to exist. The soldiers that were spitting upon him and beating him, those that were mocking him and blaspheming him, with one single word, they would have ceased to exist. The cross that he hung upon and the nails that were in his feet and in his hand, at any moment he could have made them totally, totally disintegrate. But he didn't. He didn't. Because he knew that behind all of that earthly authority that had placed him on that cross was his Father working out his perfect will in him. Do we or do we not, dear brethren, believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to the Lord? Do we believe it or not? You know, we love that verse when everything's going great, but I'll tell you, when things are going against what we want, it's awful hard to stand firm on that verse, isn't it? It's awfully hard to praise the Lord for that verse. But he's trying, not trying, his desire is to mold us, to cut away the flesh, to conform us to the image of his dear, dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's why he often brings suffering in our lives. That's why he brings difficulty in our lives. You know, when we were in Spain, for 3 months, I was under discipline for disagreeing with the elders on something that I felt that they were wrong, that they told some people to do. And so they said that I had divided the assembly, that I had caused dissension in the assembly, and they placed me under discipline. It was really hard. You know, here I'm a missionary, and I'm under discipline. I can't have Bible studies. I can go to breaking of bread, but I can't stand up and share anything. I can't teach in the assembly. And it was hard. But, you know, a brother came to me, one of the other missionaries came to me and said, Mark, you know, if you'll just submit to that, if you'll just humble yourself and submit, I know it's going to be hard, but he says, I've always found that in those difficult situations is when the Lord is really able to work in my life and really cut away a lot of the flesh in me. And I thank the Lord for that experience. It was hard going through it, but I thank the Lord for it. I wouldn't go back and change it for anything. I mean, I would go back and change my, you know, my, what I did, you know, but you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't go back and change what I had to go through for the Lord to do that great work in me. And there's been other things, horrible things in my life that have been done by elders in assemblies or by boss at work or by whatever authority is over me. And it was tough. It was hard. But I look back over those things and I see God was behind it all. He was behind it all. And He was the one that was doing that in my life because I needed it for Him to humble me. And I still need a lot of that, don't I? I still need to be humbled by the Lord. We all need that. We all need that. The most natural thing for any of us is pride, is self-will. That's what we all struggle with, isn't it? And so the Lord brings these things in our lives to bring us back into conformity to what He wants. The image of His Son. And wasn't His Son? I mean, we love that passage in Philippians chapter 2. We read it as the breaking of bread, and we laud over it, don't we? He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself. He submitted Himself. He submitted Himself not just to God, He submitted Himself to His earthly parents. He submitted Himself to governmental authority. He submitted Himself to the authority that was there in the synagogue and in the temple. He submitted Himself to that authority over and over and over again. In other words, times when He stood up. We'll talk about that later. When He had to stand up sometimes to that authority when it told Him to do something that was in violation of Scripture. But the Lord Jesus, remember when Peter came to Him and said, do we pay taxes? And He said, well, who pays taxes? Is it the children or is it the stranger that pays taxes? Well, it's the stranger. And He said, well, just for testimony's sake. And you remember, He sent Him out to go fishing and found the fish and found the coin in His mouth and He paid the tax for Peter and for Himself as well. He submitted Himself. You see? He submitted Himself. And He tells us, come and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of spirit. We all need that, don't we? We all need it. And so in the realization that we all need it, we should say, well, if that's what we need, and this is how God brings that about, then I need to humble myself under the authorities that God has placed over me. Romans chapter 13. And we've read this before, but we're going to read it again in context of here of blessing that comes about when we obey and loss that comes about when we disobey. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now that includes every one of us. Before it says, let be subject unto every ordinance. So we're subject unto every ordinance. Now it tells us who's to be subject unto every ordinance. Every one of us are to be subject unto every ordinance. Unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained, are established, are set up by God Himself. Whosoever therefore that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Really the word, better word would be judgment. Judgment. For rulers are not to terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now this is talking in particular about governmental authority. And if you do right, you'll receive the praise of the government. And if you do wrong, you're going to receive the righteous punishment of the judgment of the government. Judgment's going to come upon you. Maybe a fine, maybe jail, maybe even in some instances, the death penalty. But we're going to suffer loss because of disobedience. But again, God has ordained that authority. God has placed that. Now, in the context here, it's talking about governmental authority. But, brethren, if that's the way it's to be with governmental authority, we've got to come to the conclusion that with authority like a husband or a father or the elders in the assembly, when there's a spiritual, godly authority, how much more should we obey? Because the government over us is ungodly, and yet we're to obey. How much more should we obey the godly authority over us? It should be that much easier, shouldn't it? And yet so many times it isn't. And let me say this, and I've seen this in my own life, you know, in my own family. If I come home and I criticize authority, if I come home and I criticize my boss, and I come home and I criticize the government, and I come home and I criticize the elders in the assembly, you know what my kids are going to do? You know, spirit I'm gonna stir up in them? A critical spirit. But who are they going to criticize? They're going to criticize me. They're going to criticize my authority because I've set the pattern for them. You see? But if we don't speak evil of authority, if we're careful how we speak about authority, then our kids, those that are under our authority, will not have that critical spirit, or will not be at least taught that critical spirit. You see? If you've got something to say to your authority, or that you don't agree with the authority, don't say it behind their back. That's what we do. You know? I hear stuff all the time. Murmurings and you know, by people. But don't say it behind. Go to the authority, to their face, and speak to them. What good does it do to talk behind their backs? Well, what have you accomplished except break down and the authority that they might have had or the respect that they might have had in someone else's mind that the person you talk to and criticize, and maybe you don't even have all the facts. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever criticized authority and then come back around and you found out I didn't have all the information and I was wrong? Have you ever done that before? This means yes and this means no. I've done it. And you have to go back and say, uh-oh, well, I sure was wrong. And you have to go back and clean up the mess that you've made. You see? It's better to go to the authority. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 tells us this particular thing. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see, disobedience always brings about death. Now the word death in the scripture means separation. And if disobedience to God, of course, brings separation, the relationship that I have with God, the communion I have with Him, better said, my relationship always is the same. I'll always be a son no matter what. But my fellowship with Him, my communion with Him, can be broken. I can be separated from Him in fellowship. And the same thing is true in authority, right? In human authority. If I obey that authority, there's good fellowship. There's good relationship. But if I disobey, there's a broken relationship, isn't there? First on my part, and then possibly on the part of the authority that's over me as well. And is that what we really want? Is that what we really need in our lives? You know, the problem in the nation of Israel in the book of Judges, the reason there was so much sin in the land, and the reason that God had to judge the land over and over and over again, was this. The spirit of the age was every man did what was right in his own eyes. Do you not feel that the spirit of the age today is very similar to that time in Israel's history? I know better than God does. I know better than the Bible does. I know better than the authority does, whether it be my father or my mother or my elder in the elders in the assembly or my boss at work or whoever it is. I know better than they do, and every one of us wants to do what's right in my own eyes. In my own eyes. And that's where relationships and fellowship is broken. I'm under authority. I've been under authority, and I'm under authority even now. And I have some authority. Here in the assembly as an elder, and my home as a husband, as a father. But you know what? It's a whole lot easier to be under authority than it is to be an authority. You know what I mean? Do you understand the difference? It's a whole lot easier to obey than it is to be the one that has to lead and make decisions. It's a whole lot harder. because I realize that the decisions I make doesn't just affect me, it affects people that are under my authority. And that really affects me when I make decisions. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. I'll tell you what, we'll stop right there. The next time we get together, I'm going to have to do this on a Sunday morning sometime because I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, I'm not going to speak on any more Sunday evenings for the rest of the year, so we'll have to see how that all works out. But if there's any questions about these things, brethren, if you've got a question about something I've shared, and again, I haven't shared the whole thing yet, so don't think this is all of it because, like I said, there's some things I've got to address about if the authority is evil or it asks you to do something that violates Scripture, how do we respond to that? But if there's a question about some of these things, come and ask me about it. I want to be honest with you. I want to help because this is really something I think is so necessary for the age and day we live in. Just as spirit, there's a rebellious spirit in the world today, and it's seeped into the church, it's seeped into the local assembly, and it manifests itself over and over again in the family, in the assembly of God's people, with government, with employers. And I really think it affects our testimony and it affects our relationship one with another. So let's just close in a word of prayer and we'll continue this, Lord willing, next time. Our Father and our God in heaven, how grateful we are again this evening for the perfect example of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was that perfectly humble and submissive man. He was obedient in all times, in all ways, not just to you, O Father, but to the authorities that you place in his life. To the governmental authorities, to the religious authorities. Even as a young boy there in the temple, he had respect for those men, and he asked them and answered their questions in an honorable fashion. To his earthly parents, to his mother, and to his surrogate father, to his stepfather Joseph, he humbled himself and submitted himself to them. And the result of that is he grew in stature and in honor with you and with men. And Father, we realize there's always blessing that comes about with submission and obedience, and there's always loss and sorrow, the end result of disobedience and a lack of submission, a haughty and proud spirit. So help us all to consider these things, and each one of us, in light of what we've seen tonight in the Scriptures, and to study this out on our own, that we might ask each one of ourselves that question. How does my life line up in regards to this particular issue of submission to authority that you've placed over us? So, Father, we just ask that you would bring about fruit in our lives, that there would be a good result, that our hearts would be changed and challenged by the things that we've seen, and we'll, in all these things, give you thanks and praise, for we ask them through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.